Good morning. You're listening to the online morning service for Sunday, the 21st of June, from Wallington and St Andrew's Cheam United Reformed Churches. Our service this morning is led by Mr Phil Hyde.
Welcome to this service of worship. As you listen today, you may be on your own, or you may be surrounded by family. You may be in your garden, or sat at your breakfast table. Perhaps you're giving yourself a treat of a lie-in. You may be even looking after your physical and spiritual health together by pounding away on your treadmill or your cross trainer. Whatever your circumstances, be assured that you are not alone. You are part of a community of believers that stretches across the world and reaches back down the ages. A community of believers that understands that the steadfast love of the Lord is good, that God's mercy is abundant. So let us draw near to God's presence. Our first hymn this morning is that bold, strong, classic hymn, "And Can It Be That I Should Gain an Interest in the Saviour's Blood?" If you would like to follow the words and sing along, you can find the words on the online order of service, or if you happen to have some hymn books and you enjoy reading from those, this hymn is in Rejoice and Sing, number 366. "And Can It Be?"
Thank you.
Let's join together in our opening prayers. God of all things, of the infinite and the infinitesimal, who numbers the grains of sand on the beach and causes the waves to lap the seashore, we call on you. God of all people, who loves each one completely and utterly, those of every race, creed, gender, and title, we call on you. God of all trials and temptations, who offers forgiveness when we do not recognize others as your own, we call on you. God who came for the outcast, the addicted and the lonely, and for those who allow them to remain so, we call on you. God who is our all in all, come draw near to us, hold us together as your children. Help us to live as one family as we turn our hearts to you. Lord Jesus, your word reaches for the light, for the public places, for a wide hearing across the nations, stirring and summoning. It is not a secret that your kingdom is coming. Yet those who live by that kingdom are called to places of conflict and criticism. Your values are resisted. Your truth is challenged. It would be so much easier if we could be secret disciples. So you remind us of the sparrow, seen from heaven as it falls to earth. And you remind us that God sees the life of earth with the love of heaven. And then you speak of a sword, dividing where we thought that we were safe, destroying what seemed secure, splitting, severing, sundering. Lord Jesus, give us courage not to seek secrecy for our faith, not to fear the sharp edge of truth, and never to forget the loving eye of God. We join together in the words of the Lord's Prayer in its traditional form. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen.
Have you ever looked up at the sky at night? First you spot one star, then another, and another, and another, and soon there are so many that you can see that you can't count them. We've tried, I think all of us, at some point or another. The more you look, the more you see. And when we do this, we often feel a very small part of our enormous universe. We wonder how it is that God even knows or cares about us. How can God even know I exist? How is it that God even cares about the person I'm becoming and the way I behave? I'm such a small thing in the whole of creation. But we do know that, as it's told to us in the Bible and in today's reading from the Gospel of Matthew in chapter 10. We can read how God considers us to be more valuable than sparrows. It tells us that at that time you could buy two sparrows for a penny. Sparrows are really common birds, and they were at that time too. It tells us that even if one sparrow falls down dead, God knows about it. He cares about that sparrow and is aware of what has happened to it. And God cares even more for us. That got me thinking about sparrows. I see quite a lot in our garden. We have a sparrow's nest in the roof of our house, and the sparrows eat the ants in our garden, and I have plenty of those. I've been in my garden quite a lot during lockdown, and I've enjoyed watching the sparrows come and go. They have lovely markings in their feathers, not just a dull brown bird, and not at all the same. Shades of brown, and some have black features too. But yes, very common. And God values us even more than sparrows. The Bible tells us that we're worth more than many sparrows put together. And it also tells us how much more. It tells us that God even knows the number of hairs on our heads. and that must be a pretty big number. How well God must know us if he knows the number of hairs on our head. Just take a moment now to use your fingers to feel your face. Feel the shapes and textures on your face. Feel your cheeks, probably quite soft. Feel your firm chin. Feel your mouth, your nose, your eyebrows and eyelids. And then, of course, feel your hair. Even if you've had a buzz cut, each hair is still there in your scalp. Your fingers know your face and hair well. If your hair is a little bit longer than a buzz cut, you may know when you wake up if you've got bed hair, just by the feel of it. You know your hair well, but do you know the number of hairs? God does. And if he knows that much about my hair, how much more does he care about the kind of person I am? He cares that I should love him and that I should love other people as much as I love myself. Being Christian and following Jesus can be difficult at times. We may not feel like loving others. We may feel impatient with them. We may feel we do not want to share. We may choose to stay quiet when we should speak openly about Jesus' message of love for all. In those situations, it's very tempting to give up. It seems too hard. If that happens to you this week, take a deep breath. Count slowly to 10 and remember, God says, "Do not be afraid. You are worth much more than many sparrows."
Our second hymn, "I Want to Walk with Jesus Christ All the Days I Live of This Life on Earth." Again, please follow the words on the online order of service, or if you have a hymn book with you, it's in Rejoice and Sing, number 367.
I want to walk with Jesus Christ all the days I live of this life on earth, to give to him complete control of body and of soul. Follow him, yield your life to him. He has conquered death, he is King of kings. Accept the joy which he gives to those who yield their lives to him. I want to learn to speak to him, to pray to him, confess my sin, to open my life and let him in, for joy will then be mine. Your life to him, he has conquered death, he is King of kings. Accept the joy which he gives to those who yield their lives to him. I want to learn to speak of him, my life must show that he lives in me. My deeds, my thoughts, my words must speak of all his love for me. Accept the joy which he gives to those who yield their lives to him. I want to learn to read his word, for this is how I know the way to live my life as pleases him in holiness and joy. Follow him, yield your life to him. He has conquered death, he is King. Accept the
Psalm 69, a cry for help. Reading verses 7 to 10 and 16 to 18. It is for your sake that I have been insulted, and that I am covered with shame. I am like a stranger to my brothers, like a foreigner to my family. My devotion to your temple burns in me like a fire. The insults which are hurled at you fall on me. I humble myself by fasting, and people insult me. Answer me, Lord, in the goodness of your constant love. In your great compassion, turn to me. Don't hide yourself from your servant. I am in great trouble. Answer me now. Come to me and save me. Rescue me from my enemies.
A reading from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 10, verses 24 to 39. The student is not above the teacher, nor a servant above his master. It is enough for students to be like their teachers, and servants like their masters. If the head of the house has been called Beelzebul, how much more the members of his household? So do not be afraid of them, for there is nothing concealed that will not be disclosed, or hidden that will not be made known. What I tell you in the dark, speak in the daylight. What is whispered in your ear, proclaim from the roofs. Do not be afraid of those who kill the body but cannot kill the soul. Rather, be afraid of the one who can destroy both soul and body in hell. Are not two sparrows sold for a penny? Yet not one of them will fall to the ground outside your Father's care. And even the very hairs of your head are all numbered. So don't be afraid. You are worth more than many sparrows. Whoever acknowledges me before others, I will also acknowledge before my Father in heaven. But whoever disowns me before others, I will disown before my Father in heaven. Do not suppose that I have come to bring peace to the earth. I did not come to bring peace, but a sword. For I have come to turn a man against his father, a daughter against her mother, a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. A man's enemies will be the members of his own household. Anyone who loves their father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. Anyone who loves their son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. Whoever does not take up their cross and follow me is not worthy of me. Whoever finds their life will lose it, and whoever loses their life for my sake will find it. Thanks be to God for the reading from his word.
It's often said that any church leader worth their salt will arrange to be on holiday on Trinity Sunday so that they can avoid having to explain one of the most complicated bits of all Christian theology. Well, I think we should give great credit to our minister Craig for having taken on the challenge of Trinity Sunday a couple of weeks ago, and a very good job he did of it. But Craig, wherever you are right now, I hope you're just a little bit ashamed of yourself for asking someone else to talk about the Bible passage where Jesus apparently relishes the idea of breaking up families, and all of that on Father's Day too. On the subject of which, a few words about Father's Day, if I may. It's not easy being a father. One cynic, speaking from his own experience, noted that children go through five fascinating stages. First, they call you Dada. Then they call you Daddy. As they mature, they call you Dad. As they mature further, they call you stupid. And finally, they call you to borrow money. Today is Father's Day, and it's right that we should salute fathers. I know that not every father does a great job of it. I really do understand that. But let me tell you, there are lots and lots of men out there who are doing everything they can, sometimes in really tough circumstances, to be the best dad that they can be.
And that's important because the world needs good role models in every sort of role. So if you are a father, then I hope that you get spoilt just a little bit today. And if you're someone whose dad is around, then please make sure that you say something kind and loving to him before the day is out. So, on to that reading from Matthew's Gospel. Do not think that I have come to bring peace to the world. I came to set sons against their fathers, daughters against their mothers. Whoever does not take up their cross and follow in my steps is not fit to be my disciple. These words seem harsh in themselves, and they seem out of character for Jesus. Isn't he the one who proclaims good news to the poor and who brings liberation for the oppressed? Isn't he the one who commands us to love our neighbours as ourselves, to welcome the stranger, to feed the hungry, to provide care for those who are sick? Didn't he spend much of his ministry showing kindness to the most marginalised in society? And after his resurrection, did he not greet the scared disciples time and time again by saying, "Peace be with you"? There is no doubt that Christian faith has often been associated with peace in many practical ways. Let me tell you about one of them. High in the Andes Mountains stands an enormous statue of Christ. It is known as El Cristo de los Andes, the Christ of the Andes. It sits right on the border dividing Argentina from Chile, and it was built to celebrate the fact that they had successfully dealt with a border dispute which had threatened the relationship between the two countries for many, many years. As long as the statue stands, the nations have pledged that there will be peace between Argentina and Chile. And so the Christ of the Andes stands 14,000 feet above sea level, with one hand holding a cross and the other hand held up as though providing a blessing. The problem was, shortly after the statue was built as a symbol of mutual peace, controversy rather broke out. Because, you see, the statue of Christ faces Argentina, and therefore it has its back turned towards Chile. This problem was dealt with by a very smart Chilean journalist who explained that it was only right that the statue should face this way because, as he put it, the people of Argentina need more watching over than the people of Chile. The statue is a reminder to us that Christ does offer peace and reconciliation to those who are at war with God and at war with each other. It's also a reminder that, in effect, we are all like the Argentinians. We all need Christ watching over us. So given that Jesus talked so much about peace, how can we explain the meaning of this morning's reading? I think we can explain it like this. Jesus is telling the disciples about what it actually means to be a disciple, one who will bring the good news out from the dark and into the light. Just before today's passage, Jesus has already said to the 12, "See, I am sending you out like sheep into the midst of wolves. Some of you will be betrayed even by those you love." Now, why would that happen, we might ask? Well, because the good news of the Gospels is radical. It is subversive. It's supposed to challenge the status quo, which is a posh Latin way of saying that, as the Black Lives Matter campaign has shown us recently, the world is not the way that it should be, and we all have to do something about it. Jesus didn't come to keep the peace, he came to make peace, and those two things are not the same thing at all. Making peace is not about making sure that everyone is happy and being careful not to ruffle any feathers. Because, to use a phrase that's well known in the civil rights movements, when there is no justice, there is no peace. Jesus also says that to follow him, we need to take up our own cross. Taking up our own cross means that we have to follow a way of love that proclaims peace and justice for all people. So what does that mean in practice? Well, it means speaking up whenever we see individuals or groups being treated unfairly on social media, in our workplaces and schools, perhaps in discussions with our families and friends, in our communities and in our country. And sometimes that's going to really cheese people off. Taking up the cross means trying to understand what life is like for those who do not get a fair deal because of the colour of their skin, or their gender, or their sexuality, or their physical abilities. It means listening to their stories, sitting with them in their sufferings, welcoming them into our homes and churches, and maybe once in a while even marching with them on the streets. It's about seeing the way of Jesus as your mission in life. Let me tell you another story. Scott Carpenter was one of the first few American astronauts, and he wrote these words. He said this: "This project of being an astronaut and going to the moon gives me the possibility of using all my capabilities and all my interests and gifts at once. There are risks involved, that's for sure, but this is something that I would be willing to give my life for." And he wrote a letter to his wife which echoed the same thoughts, and he said, "My dear, if this comes to a fatal, fiery end for me, I will have three main regrets. I will have lost the opportunity to prepare for my children's life here on this planet. I will miss the pleasure of seeing you and loving you when you are a grandmother. And I will never learn to play the guitar." So Scott Carpenter cared for his wife. He cared for his children. He wanted to play the guitar. But more than that, more than his love for his wife and children, more than wanting to learn to play the guitar, Scott Carpenter was willing to give his life for that mission to go to the moon. The great temptation of modern-day Christianity, I think, is to have a sugar-coated gospel and a sugar-coated cross. The great temptation is that the cares and riches and pleasures of this life become more important than the mission. And the result is watered down wine. It's complacent Christianity. It's easy Christianity. Oh yes, come and sit on our soft padded chairs and worship Jesus in comfort. And that's just not good enough. If what I've said so far has been too negative for you or too political, then I apologise. Well, I apologise a bit. Let me finish by making the same point, but in a more positive and a more personal way. I want to talk about love triangles. Now, the tabloid newspapers love a love triangle, don't they? Especially if the love triangle involves famous people. In the classic love triangle, there are, of course, three people. That's why it's called a triangle. One of them is stuck between two separate love interests. And the two love interests, knowingly or often unknowingly, are competing with each other and vying for the time and attention and energy of that first person. In the reading from Matthew, Jesus presents us with a couple of love triangles. He says, "Whoever loves their father or mother more than me is not worthy of me, and whoever loves a son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me." So in the first triangle, there is Jesus, us, and our mother or father. In the second triangle, there is Jesus, us, and our children. Now, these are by no means the only love triangles in our lives. Love triangles can involve anyone or anything. And every love triangle confronts us with a fundamental question. Who do you love more? Or if you want to look at it this way, what is your most important relationship? Now, according to my Outlook calendar, my most important relationship is with the National Audit Office, which is my employer. If you were to look at my credit card statement, you'd probably say that I'd got a thing going on with Amazon.co.uk. If you knew the thoughts that fill my head, and if you knew some of the choices I'd made in life, you might conclude that I love myself more than anyone else. Today's gospel reading confronts us with the many love triangles in which we all live and struggle, and it demands that we make a choice. Jesus is not demanding exclusivity, but he is demanding priority. Jesus refuses to be just another one of our many love interests. This refusal to be just another love interest, this demand for priority, is actually for our own good, as well as the good of those around us. We can only ever have one primary relationship. That one relationship gives us identity, and it gives our lives meaning and direction. It becomes the lens through which we see the world, each other, and ourselves. A woman once told her husband, "When you love God most, you love me best." There is great wisdom in what she said. You see, it breaks the triangle No one is left out, excluded or rejected. God, not ourselves, becomes the source and origin of our love. This is the love by which we take up our cross and follow Jesus, the same love with which Jesus loves us. So the apparently harsh words of Jesus reveal a much kinder truth. We love each other best when we love God most. Our next hymn today isn't really a hymn at all, it's a worship song. It's called You're the Word of God the Father by Stuart Townend. Now, if you go to Wallington United Reformed Church, you may not know this song because we've never sung it in church as far as I know. But if you're a St Andrew's person, you may well know it. It appears in one of your hymn books. It appears in Mission Praise. It's actually number 1141, which is a very big number. And it does make me think, how heavy is that hymn book? But more than that, my research tells me that you sang it at an all-age service on the 15th of March. Now that is a more significant date than it might at first seem. Why? Because it was the last time that we worshipped in church before lockdown happened. Let's hope that we can all be back together in church in the not too distant future. But for now, enjoy.
Before the world began, every star and every planet has been fashioned by your hand. All creation holds together by the power of your voice. Let the skies declare your glory. Let the land and seas rejoice. Came to seek and save the lost, and exchange the joy of heaven for the anguish of a cross. With a prayer you fed the hungry, with a word you stilled the sea. Yet how silently you suffered, that the guilty may go free. You're the Lord of every man, and your cry of love rings out across the lands. Wresting victory from the grave, and ascended into heaven, leading captives in your way. Now you stand before the Father, interceding for your own. From each tribe and tongue and nation, you are leading sinners home.
Yes, you're the author. Come now to our prayers of intercession. These are in four parts. The first reflects on Father's Day. We will then move into our intercessions based around our reading from Matthew, during which there will be an opportunity for you to uphold your own family, friends, or your own concerns in prayer. We will then take a moment to reflect on issues raised by the Black Lives Matter campaign and the challenges of our history, using part of a prayer I found on the Bloomsbury Central Baptist Church webpage. And we will end with an affirmation of hope. Let us gather then in prayer. In long summer evenings when light lingers and sunsets have time to deepen from light pink to deep red, we offer you, God, our Father and Mother, our thanks and praise. We take time today to bring to mind our earthly fathers, to give thanks to you for all that they have done for us and all that they have been to us. To thank you for the good times we have shared together, and to thank you for bringing us through the hard times together. We are mindful that there are also those for whom memories of their fathers are painful, or for whom there are no memories at all. Heavenly Father, may we find in you a loving embrace that more than makes up for the inadequacies of our earthly fathers. And we pray that we will feel your perfect love surrounding each and everyone, helping us to love as you love us, giving generously with wisdom and forgiving freely with justice. In the name of your Son, our brother Jesus, we pray. Amen. Loving God, we feel the sadness of Jesus' description of family breakdown, as we hold before you the members of our family we miss. Parents, grandparents, children, in-laws, siblings. We pray for joyful meetings as restrictions gradually ease. Hearing the searing irony of Jesus, we ask you to open our eyes to our willful familial divisions, as if there wasn't enough conflict out there already. Put our pettiness in perspective and reveal to us the gifts in each other that we risk taking for granted or undervaluing. We pray for families where lockdown has revealed fractures not acknowledged before. Reveal too the fault lines in society of prejudice, injustice, poverty and privilege. Give us courage and patience to attend to them, imagining what Jesus would have to say. We pray also for those whose future is uncertain at this time, for people who have no one to speak up for them. And now, in a moment of silence, an opportunity to bring before God all that troubles you, your concerns for the world, your family, your friends, or yourself. Loving and forgiving God, we come to you today recognizing that in matters of ethnicity we have no choice. We are who we have been made to be. Before you, we rejoice at our diversity, and our hearts lift at your great vision of a worshipping multitude gathered from every nation, tribe, people, and language. But nonetheless, we recognize that our present reality is very far from this ideal. We have each of us been shaped by different forces. Some of us have been ground down, whilst others have been built up. Some of us have been worn away or have become fractured and broken. Some of us have found life a burden rather than a joy. None of us have experienced the perfect life. some of us have inherited power, whilst others of us have inherited powerlessness. Some of us have been born white in a world where whiteness confers privilege. Others of us have been born black in a world where darker skin carries disadvantage. We know that this is not the world as you would have it be, but it is our world. None of us asked for our skin colour. None of us asked to be born the heirs of oppression. None of us asked to inherit power or powerlessness. So before you and in the name of Jesus Christ, who loves all people equally, regardless of ethnicity, gender, sexuality or social status, challenge us to recommit ourselves to your vision of the world. God of hope, where things seem to be one big tangle of pain and unhappiness, intervene with your saving love. Where people are in conflict or locked in a stalemate, release them from the cycle of war. Where your name is outlawed and your children are forced to hide, break through their darkness and be God revealed to them. Where despair takes centre stage and depression and anxiety sharpen their claws, fill those situations with unexpected peace and joy. God of hope, God with us, God of all time and of every place, may the earth be filled with the knowledge of you, and may your light flow over the world like a covering, bringing protection from the darkness. Amen.
Our final hymn today is a wonderful hymn of assurance and confidence that God is with us through every season and every circumstance, that whatever life may throw our way, God walks with us for every single step. Great is thy faithfulness, O God, my Father. If you have a Rejoice and Sing hymn book and would like to follow the words there, it's number 96 in that book. Great is thy faithfulness.
Thank you.
May God give you the discernment to see whom you should serve. May God give you the wisdom to learn how to serve. May you have the strength to serve as a faithful disciple all of your days. And may the blessing of God Almighty, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit be with you and the ones that you love, now and evermore. Amen.